See the exploding infinities, hack the cosmogonic, grok the unfathomable conundrums, and expose extra-mundane perplexities of our apathetic universe. All that and more when you hack the universe. Now, here's your host, Harold Brutus Black.
Welcome back, Dirt Nerds. Tonight we have a guest whose life reads like a fever dream carved into the dusty desert floor. I'm talking about Colby Jack McGraw, musician, wanderer, and living legend of the strange and wonderful. Colby was born in the scorched heart of Death Valley circa 1950s-ish, when the sky itself was glowing from all those atomic bomb tests out in Nevada. While most kids were kicking cans in the suburbs, Colby was out watching mushroom clouds on the horizon and trying to coax a living out of nothing, sand, dust, and raw determination. A poor dirt farmer's son in a place where even the rattlesnakes feared to tread. Before we get rolling, quick heads up. If you notice, Colby sounds like he's phoning in from the dark side of the moon. Don't panic. Let's call it a medical situation. I'll explain later. Promise. For now, just roll with it. Colby, I gotta ask, what was it like growing up that time and place?
Well, heck, let me tell you, farming dirt in 120-degree weather wasn't exactly a vacation. Folks today complain about mowing the lawn, but we were out there cultivating dust like it was a cash crop. You couldn't walk barefoot without your shoes melting to the ground and the only shade the shadow of your own misery. But here's the thing, when you grow up like that, everything else life throws at you just feels easy. Music, travel, love, even the bad times, they all seemed like pure fun compared to staring down another day going sandstorms and midnight sunburns. Tough start, sure, but sure made the ride afterwards a whole lot sweeter.
How the hell do you farm dirt in the first place? I mean, what's the point exactly? That sounds, well, counterintuitive.
Yeah, heck. People always laugh when they hear dirt farming, like it's some kind of easy, lucrative racket. They see the high prices dirt goes for back east in the big cities like New York and Washington, and think, hell, I can farm some dirt myself. Good luck with that. These days, you got giant robot carry-all swooping in, scooping up the stuff and dragging it away into the sky for God knows what. But back in the 50s, it was just us and a shovel. We took turns with that shovel heaping dirt into the bed of our beat-up 32 Ford pickup and hauled it to market the old-fashioned way, one bag at a time.
What's so special about Valley Dirt that made it worth all that trouble?
Well, my daddy used to swear up and down it was cursed, said the Anasazi laid a hex on that land to get revenge on the white settlers. And that's why folks would pay good money to haul a sack of it back home, some kind of bottled up vengeance in the soil. Personally, though, I think it had more to do with all the radioactive fallout seeping into the ground from those bomb tests. You ever wonder where the magic in magic mushrooms comes from? I'll tell you, it's our dirt.
I don't want to linger too long in the fallout fields because you've had one hell of a musical career. Let's talk about that. How did you even get started with the guitar in the first place?
Well, heck, that's a rough little story. My old man, mean drunk most nights, used to beat me whenever the mood struck him. No reason needed. One time, he grabbed this busted-up old guitar we had leaning in the corner and used that as his weapon of choice.
You're telling me your musical journey started with getting hit by a guitar?
That's right. He cracked it across my head, and I swear, the sound it made, this deep twang mixed with a rattle, kind of reverberating inside my skull, it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever heard. Hurt like hell, sure, but it woke something up in me. After that, I was still afraid of my daddy, but there was one thing I wasn't afraid of anymore, and that was that old guitar. I wanted to hear that sound again, so the next day I mouthed off at dinner time expecting him to take that guitar to my noggin again.
And the rest is history.
Nope. It was the crowbar.
Damn, man. I thought I had it rough. So in a way, the first note you ever loved was a concussion.
Exactly. And from there, I figured if I could survive those beatings, I could survive guitar lessons. Turns out, hitting the strings was a lot easier than getting hit with them.
So you taught yourself guitar?
No, a damn rock taught me.
What do you think, Hack?
Touche. Now, Colby, I can't help but notice you didn't come in here alone. You brought the whole backup band with you, sitting there quiet as coyotes in church. What do you say, fellas? You up for giving our listeners a little taste of that famous McGraw sound? One of those signature twang blues western mashups you've been known to tear the roof off with.
Well, Hack, I reckon that's a fine idea. These boys are always ready to play. What we'll do for you tonight is a little number I like to call Rattlesnake's Winds. It's half desert lament, half whiskey soap shuffle, with just enough distortion to remind folks the West ain't dead, it's just wired into an amp starts out slow, like heat rising off a blacktop road, then kicks in hard like a stallion that don't want to be saddled with a reverse mortgage.
That sounds like a future GRN program to me. All right, folks, turn those dials up, because this is Colby Jack McGraw bringing you real music in my basement studio.
Thank you.
You're not just strumming one guitar up there, are you? Looks like you're swapping between three, maybe four mid. What are you working with tonight?
That's right, Hack. I don't marry myself to just one sixth string. I keep a Martin E44 Fabouille sound and a Travis Bean aluminum back for everything else. That last tune, you heard the Travis Bean running hot through a Paisley Z-amp with a tube screamer and just a kiss of slap back delay.
Looks like it's strung backwards though.
Sure is. I'm ambidextrous, so I flip 'em. Makes it easier to line the right-handed ones on my right, the lefties on my left. When I switch mid-song, it's just a sidestep instead of a wrestling match.
Man, that's a far cry from that old K guitar you gave me back in the day.
Hold up, I gave it to you? Far as I recall, I loaned it. I keep a ledger, Hack, of every guitar I've ever lent out. I don't forget.
Oh, no, don't tell me that. That K was stolen back in the 90s. Some wild clergy caper. Don't even ask me how. I can't believe, damn it. Colby, I thought it was mine.
Oh, hell, I'm just yanking your chain. That old K was a big piece of cow patty, if you know what I mean. Crap wood, warped neck. Strings tighter than a preacher's wallet. Truth is, Hack, I stole that thing from a touring gospel group sitting on Nia 60 years ago.
No shit.
Trust me, Hack. You did the world a favor losing that guitar. It was cursed and by more than that radioactive dirt still clogging up the pores between my toes.
Okay, why don't you play another tune while I hide my shame like a cookie-less Girl Scout?
What's your tolerance level for pedal steel?
Come on. You're talking to the guy who elevated the common household chainsaw into a symphonic instrument.
All right, then. This one's called Black Velvet Nowhere. Sorry about that. My false eye fell out. Let's try that again.
What about your bass player? Looks like he could use a trip to the hospital.
Oh, he'll be fine. He lost all the pain, sense, and nerves in his body after getting run under that big rig 2 years ago. Okay, now here we go. Thank you. the clouds for no trails been cut. Silver reins in my hands, starlight on my boots. The moon's a lantern swinging low, guiding me through the black velvet nowhere. Midnight wind calls me brother, from the stars call me stranger, but I ride on. Lean and quiet, a long cowboy ghost, drifting on the sky's back. And when the dawn comes, I'll vanish like smoke from a dying fire. Leaving only the echoes, birds, and the trail of clouds wearing my name.
Was haunting. Just haunting. That pedal steel felt like it was crying straight out of the desert wind.
It was. Picked up that rig back in 92 after it bounced clean off the back of a truck I was riding. Spent a week jury rigging it so I could play the damn thing with my feet. Keeps my hands free to strum the old Travis Bean.
Amazing footwork, by the way. So, what inspired that tune?
Well, Hack, one night back in 68, I ate too many mushrooms, way too many. Thought I was just gonna sit there and listen to the coyote serenade me, you know? Instead, I had myself a vision. I flew straight up into the sky, higher than the mountains, higher than the clouds. And I met what I swear were the ancestors of my family's land.
Your ancestors? Huh. What did they say?
They bitched me out, Hack. Told me I've been wasting my time stomping around the dirt without understanding what it cost them. Then, like angry ghosts with a mean streak, they sent me screaming back down to earth. Woke up covered in sand and cactus needles. Didn't know if I was alive or dead for near like a day.
Damn. That's heavy. Hey, you still got a good source for those mushrooms. Sounds like some strong stuff.
Nah, Hack, that's the thing. I've been doing mushrooms for years, plenty of times before and plenty after. Never had that kind of experience, not once. Just that one night.
So what was it then, if not the mushrooms? What the hell happened to you up there?
That's the question that's haunted me ever since. I sometimes wonder if it wasn't the ancestors at all. Maybe, just maybe, it was an alien abduction. Maybe they borrowed my soul for a joyride and dropped me back in the desert when they were done.
Nah, man. Sounds more like Black Ops to me. Ever since they irradiated all those people back in the 50s, the Air Force has been required by Congress to check in on them from time to time. Rumor has it they slip you a little roofie to sleep it off.
Damn, I never thought of that before.
I'm not surprised. They love feeding that alien abduction myth. Cover their asses.
I don't know, kind of felt like aliens to me.
moving on, I think it's time we finally hear one of your signature surfing songs.
This one's called I-49.
I can feel Dick Dale rolling over in his grave about right now. Did you ever meet him?
I only in court. He sued me. Said I copied his songs too much. I showed the judge my false ear and the case was dropped. That and the sworn affidavit by the governor of California that proved I was an illiterate fool.
Not sure how much of that is true. Let's continue. How the hell do you go from dirt farmer in Death Valley to surfing musician? That's not the usual trajectory.
Well, Hack, I don't surf ocean waves. I surf the waves and high waves of this great nation's roads. Not to put too fine a point on it, I surf semis.
Wait, semis? Like 18-wheelers?
Yeah. After I ran away from home at 17... I'd hop trains from town to town, guitar slung on my back, playing for tips. But you know, trains don't go everywhere. Sometimes the money was better in towns where the rails didn't reach, so I'd hitchhike. Problem was, hitching got me mugged more often than not.
So I'm guessing you switched it up a bit?
You bet. I'd wait till the rigs pulled into a gas station, climb up on top while the driver was inside grabbing coffee, and ride that sucker to the next truck stop. At first, I just laid low, flat against the roof. But after a while, I got cocky, started standing up there, leaning into the wind, arms out like I was riding some cosmic wave of asphalt thunder.
Man, wasn't that dangerous?
What are you, an idiot? Of course it was dangerous. You think I got all these scars from shark bites? Nah, Hack. These beauties are from road signs. From doing 7 miles an hour down the highway, standing on top of a Peterbilt. That's how you earn your stripes, partner.
Good Lord. Road sign surfing scars. That's about the gnarliest thing I've ever heard. No wonder your songs got wind burned, howled in. Now, I think that brings us to a delicate topic. I promised my dirt nerd listeners that if they waited around long enough, you'd explain to them about your little medical mishap a few years back and about why your voice sounds like you're calling long distance from the other side of Mars. Swear you're sitting right next to me in my own dingy basement studio and not on the phone.
That's 'cause, amigo, I'm the 6 million peso man.
6 million pesos? What is that, like 40 bucks?
Closer to 350, depending on the exchange rate. Anyway, long story short, I had an unfortunate accident involving a taco that was way too spicy. Burned my whole voice box clean out.
A taco accident? That's not a sentence I thought I'd hear today.
Yeah. Well, when you're on the road, you eat what you can. Next thing I know, a crack team of Mexican surgeons rebuilt my throats with cutting-edge tech. Now my voice has this futuristic upgrade.
More like you swallowed a karaoke machine, and it never shut off.
Hey man, they'll knock it. It gets me sandwich discounts at truck stops.
Great. Just what this show needs. Truck stop sandwiches. Let's listen to some more music. What else you got?
Well, that depends. If you got an extra keyboard player I can borrow.
Sorry, fresh out.
I can play keyboards.
Yeah, with what hands? You're just ahead.
Sheila's hands. If you give me her Wi-Fi password, I can hack her brain and make her play some damned keyboards.
That's not how Wi-Fi passwords work.
Too slow. I'm in. And now Sheila is my unwitting accomplice in this forthcoming travesty of music.
I don't think, what the hell? Colby, are you all right with this?
I have worse session musicians. I say, let the little robot head have a go at it.
Now, I've got to see this.
Okay, evil robot head, start out real slow, like...
Are you so, Sheila? Don't fight it.
That's not what...
Oh yeah, that's the stuff.
Well, let's just go with it then.